everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here at Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back my friend, Captain Nigel Marison. He is the owner, founder of Blue ESG. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Ria. Great to be back.
You've been busy. ESG is front and center everywhere around the world, in newspapers, on social media, you name it. What's going on with Blue ESG?
We're progressing very nicely. Blue ESG is the first provider of environmental social governance consultancy in the superyacht sector. So it's very exciting to be that leader, particularly as a captain, and the need for a shift in this sector. The approach I take with ESG is that it has a positive impact for all key stakeholders. So my area of expertise is the operation of yachts. As a captain, having been in the industry for 20 plus years, I always identified the opportunity that a yacht has through its operation for people, for communities, for crew. And if we start to measure that, then we can actually improve that. And if we improve that, we can communicate that. It's a really good way, a very positive way, where a visiting yacht can have measurable impact for people, and that we can actually start to invest in regenerative ecosystems. This is not just about cutting negatives, although that does form a large portion of an ESG strategy. It's actually creating positives. We want to create positive impact.
That's something that's really important, because the industry is seen as this very secretive industry, and we can shout it from the rooftops that there is a positive impact on the local community. There is a positive impact financially in many different ways, but we've never had a way of quantifying that in the past. And this is something that you're looking to do.
Exactly. Think from a crew perspective. We often talk about how we attract and retain talent, and you always hear about the usual rotation and salary and terms of contract, but we can go a lot deeper than that and identify what group culture do we have on board, what development strategies do we have for our crew, and what's the leadership like on board. We can capture that data. Let's say we do a presentation at a school and we want to attract talent, is we can display, illustrate in a quantitative way of all those different factors. So we can also communicate to society. So,
I think that's something that's really important too, is communicating to the broader sort of outside world the impact, because there has been no way to communicate that in the past. And as a result, the yachting industry has gotten a little bit of a reputation, but this will show people that there is actually a positive impact overall.
Absolutely. Yachting struggles with that communication. We struggle with the communication as an industry. And so as a report for the yacht, when you start to use data, of course, you improve performance, you improve efficiency. And coupled with that, you have this communication tool. So I looked at it. I took the framework from the corporate world and how do they use ESG? Of course, it's an investment tool. We can come on to that. But also, you attract best talent. You increase your engagement. You increase your market share. We've got to the point in humanity where actually doing good is more profitable, which I think is an amazing place to be.
I was just doing some research the other day, and it was saying that the graduates of 2023, they're first and foremost, what they're looking for when they're going out for work is mental health and wellness. It used to be about wage, or it used to be about benefit packages. Now, the number one thing is mental health and wellness. So it's a shift, and it's a change, and it's a big change than how it used to be before.
I think it's a great change. It's one that's extremely relevant in the maritime industry and, of course, in yachting where we operate. And I've seen it firsthand myself. I've experienced it firsthand myself. And so I think that's the great thing for me, is that this project really is a reflection of me as a captain, and also about how I really always tried to operate the yacht. And just building on that foundation actually is ESG. It's environmental, social, governance.
I think moving forward, I mean, you're going to see all of the yachts having to make this change. Actually, when you take a look at Europe specifically right now, laws are coming into place that account for ESG, and not just the sustainable part of ESG, but the governance and the social aspects of it. So it's not even like there's a choice any longer. It's a must do.
No doubt regulation is cascading. It's coming down. And I think it was in this year that EU registered companies with 250 employees or more have mandatory, let's call it, sustainability reporting. And that will only filter down. Why wait for it to filter down? It's quite easily to do. That's my take on it, is that anything we do, it must be easy and simple. We use technology to make it simple and easy. So yeah, I think we have a real opportunity here, actually. When we talk of reputation in yachting, we have significant opportunity. And how do we build on that opportunity? Well, it's opportunity to incubate technology and initiatives and different solutions in the yachting industry, which can then be scaled to the wider maritime world. So imagine ESG reporting for ESG, let's call it vessel ESG reporting, was incubated in the superyacht industry. That was where it was born. And then it's been expanded to cruise ships, to shipping, as far as not only a performance instrument, it's actually, you know, that's a really great thing, isn't it? That's a positive thing that we've managed to do. So that's very much forms part of the core of Blue ESG.
I heard not too long ago that you were working with Lloyd's Registry.
Yes, during my time on board, let's start from the beginning. When you implement any ESG strategy into an organization, a corporation, or even a yacht, the first thing that you need to do is have a look at where your biggest impact is and where can you start to walk the talk, like now. So I started to have a look at that on the yacht that I was operating, and we were talking about the emissions, right? The harmful gases that come out of the exhaust. I started to collect some data on how much fuel we were burning. And if I can tell you that in a 6,000-mile delivery passage that I did, we burned 174,000 litres of fuel, which equated to 480 tons of harmful gases into the atmosphere. Now, that 480 tons was the equivalent annual emission of 67 European citizens, or 122 citizens of Mexico, for example, because their annual emission is a lot less than European. So when I got this data, I was like, oh, crikey, it's worse than I thought. And that was one yacht, and it was a relatively small yacht, although we were transatlantic capacity. We were 55 meters since. And one yacht, one passage. So I had a look at what was on board as far as energy efficiency. And we do have, it's not mandatory reporting, but in yachting, we do embrace it. And it's called SEMP, Ship Energy Efficiency Management Plan. And it's from IMO, International Maritime Organization. But it's a document that's on board. It's a box ticking exercise. And it wasn't a live document. It was not like there was a continuous improvement process. It was dormant. I took the data from the actual passage that I did and I overlaid it onto the SEMP. What opportunity do we have to reduce? And even doing that simple exercise, identified an uplift, a saving of some $30,000, right? And a 6,000-mile passage. And that didn't even include shore power. And this is simply a passage. So I think from a financial perspective, from an operational perspective, that was like, whoa, it's a kind of a light bulb moment in what value this can have for an owner, for an operator, or for a management company. So I then had a look at what's coming in the regulatory space. Oh, this was a year or so ago. And actually, just in January of 2023, IMO introduced mandatory reporting for ships in the merchant fleet over 5,000 tons. And that's called SEMP3, Ship Energy Efficiency Management Plan Part 3, including a tool called a carbon intensity indicator. So those two coupled together form the new regulation for the map for the merchant fleet. So I took my data, I took the new regulation, and I went to Lloyd's Register, the most notable regulator, I think, in the maritime industry. And I said, look, guys, we've got this issue in yachting that we don't have any target, no goal around emissions reduction. We're not, but we need something, right? We've got an issue with reputation. Regularly, we are questioned, what's yachting doing to reduce their emissions? They're these just huge masses of steel that really don't have much purpose apart from providing ultra high net worth with their holiday time. But what are they doing to get to zero? So I took that to Lloyd's and I said, can we do something specific for the operation of a super yacht? And their answer was yes. Project Yacht Zero. Project Yacht Zero is an initiative which is under the Blue ESG umbrella, and it is in collaboration with Lloyd's Register. It's a yacht-specific carbon intensity indicator. So this is a tool which will help us, as we highlighted, perform better, more efficiently, and also will enable us to align with the regulatory space, align with IMO standards and expectations. So let's have a quick look through. Now, the background is the regulatory space. So what do we do? Do we wait for the regulator to come and regulate us? Or do we adopt a proactive approach? Do we get ahead of the curve? Do we actually maintain our license to operate? As the shipping regulations intensify, as IMO brought out their first greenhouse gas strategy in 2018, and their first goal is to reduce carbon intensity by 40% by 2030. Now, that's compared to 2008 levels, which, of course, we don't have in yachting because we never captured the data. So our goal is to reduce. How do we do that? Well, we do it through efficiency solutions and, of course, zero or low carbon fuels, which will be part of the future roadmap. So we're designing here a super, I'm always talking about the operation of the yacht, a super yacht operational metric or a measure where we've established baseline data and reduction curve lines to align with IMO regulations. Here is a quick overview of how it's looking so far. So again, this really needed the expertise of a captain. And I've brought in from my network, chief engineers, other captains, both from the yachting sector and from the commercial world as well, to help me with this, design this index with LR. Always looking at like the different operational modes at sea, important anchor. For example, the shipping CI does not include shore power or cold ironing, what it's called in the merchant fleet, which
this is something that you can come on board and help with initially, correct? This is something can come on board and implement this process and work with the captains, the engineers, to make sure that everyone's getting it right and carries through, correct?
Training is going to be part of it, absolutely. And on the human element as well. We've had a look at the fleet data, the operational, the cruising routes of yachts, where are they cruising the most and the distances they're cruising. Harmonising our efforts to the index with the reduction curve there, an A to E, a threshold index. And are you on target, or do you need to do some more work, basically, corrective actions? In brief, a quick overview of where we're at with the project. This is launched. This is happening now. We're going to be engaging with some of these management companies and brokerage to get this transition underway.
It's all technology. It's not like all of a sudden a captain is going to have like 10 files full of paperwork.
This is a tech solution. All the data's there. And like through my case studies, I've identified the pain points and I'm overcoming those pain points. The solutions are there. It is easy to capture and analyze the data. It's not going to be any more extra work.
They can start making those changes right now simply by picking up the phone, calling you, making an appointment, and you take it from there.
Absolutely. We're your partner in hand. Leave it to us. We've got you.
Not only are you saving money, you're able to show that your industry is a better industry than people previously thought. There's so many pluses to adapting this change and adapting this change now.
There are, what was it that Antonio, the UN Secretary General, we're on the highway to hell and we've got the foot still firmly on the accelerator. So how can we continue with yachting in this environmental landscape? It's just not going to be acceptable. Society will make sure that jets, yachts, all these luxury assets no longer have a license to operate with protests and everything. I mean, even in 2025, is it Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam is banning private jets. These local regulations, I think there's something in the Balearics coming around charter yachts that they will have to be zero emissions, or there's numerous local laws actually that if you're not zero emissions, or if you've not got a zero emission strategy, you won't be able to operate there. Reputationally, the public are going to start throwing eggs or rocks or whatever.
I have to be honest with you, Nigel, because I do research constantly. I am coming up with all sorts of negative stories every single day in mainstream media. And for some reason, when I share those stories, I tend to get my head bitten off. But I'm not writing these stories. I'm not creating these stories. I am sharing those stories to make the industry aware of what the opinion and view is of the regular population. And I've had conversations with people that state, well, yachting moves at its own pace. Well, I'm sorry, but either yachting best get its pace quickened, or they're going to turn around real damn quick and find out that there's not an industry left there any longer because they weren't quick enough. The world isn't going to wait for yachting to pull its finger out. Yachting has to catch up with the rest of the world, and it's happening now.
Yeah, I mean, it's significant risk. And the sooner that the owners, managers wake up to this, the better. Well, let's put it the other way. The longer they leave it, the higher the risk. So we've spoken about the regulatory space, the operational benefits, the reputational benefits. Let's just touch on the financial benefits or the valuation. Because when we talk about, I don't believe I heard anybody speaking about stranded asset status before myself. I started to talk about this a few years ago, and I said, let's explain what a stranded asset is. An asset that, due to external factors, like could be social factors or climate change, so an asset becomes rendered with a value of zero because it can't operate, right? That society won't accept it. That when we look at a super yacht, due to climate change and societal acceptance, there's a very high risk that superyacht ownership or superyachts will become stranded assets, that they won't be able to operate. They'll be worth zero, right? Because they're chugging out all these harmful gases. They've not done anything about it. You can't operate, mate. You don't. Finished. What's your yacht worth now? Well, it was worth 400 million. What's it worth now? Zero. Unlucky. You didn't do anything about it. So that's between now and 2050, because in 2050, we have things like the Net Zero Banking Alliance for 2050, which provides finance in the maritime sector. We've got Poseidon Principles for Marine Insurance, also with net zero targets 2050. Can you insure your boat? Well, I went looking for insurance. Have you got a net zero strategy? No. Well, we won't insure you then. Looking for finance. Okay. Have you got a net zero strategy? No, you can't finance the yacht. Sorry. So this is a tool which will satisfy those institutions, those lenders, the insurance companies, that they can access those products. If you can't insure your yacht or you can't refit it, you can't do it, what's going to happen to it? Well, you're not going to have a license to operate because of all that.
So isn't the yacht management company, is it the people that the owner hires to look after their yacht? Aren't they the ones that should be taking this responsibility and saying to the owner, we've got to look at this, we've got to make this change, it's got to happen now? Doing rather than saying, oh yeah, why don't you go and buy another two yachts? That's great. Let's not make any changes in the way it's built. Let's not make any changes in the way we do business.
Well, look,
not creating a bit of a problem?
What are we there for as captains, as managers? What's our job? It's to operate that vessel, that asset, in the best interest of the clients, right? If we are not actively offering our clients, the owners, risk mitigation opportunities, then you're not acting in the best interest. The valuation of the vessel will decline, and that's already proven in the shipping industry. It's proven in the merchant sector. CII is affecting the valuation of ships. It's proven. The data's there. Translate that to yachting, it's a mirror image. It's the same scenario. So are you acting in the best interest of your client? Are you identifying that we do have a risk here? How are you mitigating that risk? Are you doing anything about it? Are you offering your owners, your clients, any form of carbon risk or environmental risk mitigation tools? Well, some are trying. Yacht Zero is the only credible, I'll call it a carbon management tool, out there. Why? Because it's yacht specific and because it's designed and delivered by a regulator, which is so important for anything in this space. You've got to work with the regulator. That's the opportunity that I saw. That's the value that I'm offering.
Even if you're not going to look at it as a way to do better for the world, a way to do better for the environment, a way to do better for the people. When we talk about yachting, a lot of times it comes down to dollars and cents. And this makes dollars and cents.
Exactly. I've been on this journey for a long time. And it was always about, why are people going to pay for this? This is not sustainability. I don't use that word. Okay, this is a scientific, data-driven approach at decarbonization. I'm working with the lead decarbonization team at Lloyd's Register UK. You can't get any higher than that in the maritime sector. And the data proves it. Once we start to collect this data and to show the clients how much money you're saving by being more efficient, hopefully we'll start to get more traction. It's slow, but it's coming.
It's popping up everywhere now. ESG is everywhere. You don't even have to look for it. And a year ago, you did have to look for it. Now it's there. So it's coming for you. Whether or not you're ready, it's coming for you. So it's probably smarter to get ahead of the game now. I would highly recommend getting in touch with Nigel. Not only see how much money you can save the owner, but as well, just do better, really.
Absolutely.
Nigel, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome, Ray. It's been a pleasure as always.
I know. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. We're going to provide you with all of Nigel's information below this interview when it airs. My name is Rio. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.